I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's going to happen tonight?
Have you gotten Romo yet?
What's up, y'all? Welcome on into the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Wes Rucker coming to you from Columbia, South Carolina, joined by Ben McKee. We got a breaking news edition of the podcast. Going to be much shorter than usual, but I would imagine much sweeter than usual, Ben, because the fourth-ranked Tennessee Volunteers are the outright Southeastern Conference champions in men's basketball for the first time since 2008. First shared title, first title of any kind since 2018. A 66-59 win over number 16 South Carolina. Florida took care of business against Alabama on Tuesday night, giving Tennessee the opportunity to go in there and clinch the SEC. And I don't think it'll go in the Louvre, Ben, but it's a win, and it got a championship.
Absolutely, and I'm sure many Tennessee fans are rushing to stores all throughout Knoxville and East Tennessee and the state of Tennessee, wherever they live, to send flower baskets and baskets of treats down to Gainesville, to Florida fans, to help celebrate. I'm sure Tennessee fans are doing that.
Of course.
Sending gifts to Florida for helping them out. But no, Tennessee's the real ones that put in the work throughout the course of this regular season to this point. And I think by far Tennessee is the best team in the SEC. I think you and I both said that on the podcast we recorded earlier this week. They've been the best team throughout conference play. And sure, we've had questions at times, but in hindsight and with one game to go now, it's clear that Tennessee was the best team in the SEC this season. And we'll see what happens in the NCAA tournament, but that's a separate conversation for a different podcast. Strictly in conference play with what we have now to talk about, they ran through anybody and everybody for the most part. And they certainly ran through anybody and everybody when you look at the best teams in the league. Just a heck of an accomplishment. I hope that we as college sports fans never get away from celebrating conference championships. Growing up for me, I viewed conference championships just a slight step below winning the national championship, especially when you're in a conference like the SEC and the competition is as stiff as it gets. That's nothing to scoff at, and it should always be celebrated. I think conference championships are very special because it really epitomizes why we love college athletics. At least it does for me, just in terms of the rivalries that are within the conference. The pageantry that goes into it, it makes the game what it is to me. And when you win a league, that should be celebrated. Even if there are bigger prizes down the road, more important goals down the road, you can still stop, sniff the flowers for a moment, and then get back to work. And I think this Tennessee basketball team is going to do that. And we can touch on that on the way out the door, because there's another big game coming up on Saturday inside of Thompson Bowling Arena at Food City Center. But just a well-deserved honor. And like you said, the game wasn't the prettiest basketball game of all time, but congratulations to to Tennessee. I mean, they were the best team in the SEC, and they went out and earned it. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah, there's a couple of things, Ben, that make me sort of, you know, that sort of sweeten the pot for Tennessee winning the SEC this season. There's a couple things. As if winning the SEC by itself isn't a pot sweetener, you know, like that's like that's some awfully sweet tea when you win the SEC, but in any sport and any time. But this season in the SEC was at the very least better than the league has been in a while. Now, in terms of when was the last time it was quite this good, that a lot of people can have different opinions on that. I've said all season, I don't know how many Final Four contenders are in this league, but I know every team from this league that gets to the NCAA tournament very well could go to the Sweet 16. I think there's that kind of, you know, there's maybe two or three teams in the country this season who have been a little bit above everybody else, but there's that next tier of people that could go up there and beat those other teams. Tennessee's probably been at the top of that list, but there are some other very good teams there. Arizona, I mean, you could go down the list, but a lot of them are in the SEC. That's the first thing that makes it sweeter, is that this is a really, really tough league this season. The second part of it is just the way that schedules work. You know, Tennessee for years has had the three home and homes that are set in stone of Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and South Carolina. Most years, that's a pretty decent deal because Kentucky is always, you know, at least usually pretty good, sometimes great. But South Carolina and Vandy, you can go 4-0 a lot of those years, and so you'll take that as your home and homes. This season, however, South Carolina happened to be really, really good, at least really good. Maybe not really, really good, but really good, and really tough, really physical, really hard team to play and to beat, which I guess would make it a good team. And the other couple that Tennessee drew were Texas A&M and Alabama. So three of Tennessee's five home and homes were against the best teams in this league not named Tennessee. Nobody else really in the top five of the league has had to do that. It's not like a SEC screwed Tennessee. It's just the way it got drawn this season. It happened to be one that made it more difficult for Tennessee, and Tennessee overcame that. This final four game stretch for Tennessee of the regular season, we all knew how tough it looked. And the final four games of this season for Tennessee might be Tennessee playing the other three double bye teams in this league. Three of them at least, and or the top five teams in the league. And so that, you put all that together, I think that makes this a hell of an accomplishment. I really do. And we'll see what happens next. We'll talk about that. We'll have other podcasts to talk about that. At least I will. If you have the baby, you might not have a couple to talk about it. But we'll have more to talk about with that stuff. I just think the set of circumstances this season made it a really, really special title, I think.
No, I completely agree. I think in terms of the storyline that you're alluding to, I think there's a couple of storylines within the basketball program, and then there's also individual stories that are really cool and unique that have helped generate the team storylines, the program storylines. Like, to me, I think of how Alabama and Auburn, especially Auburn, have been thorns in the side of Tennessee at times over the course of Rick's career. I don't want to say that they've owned Rick during this tenure or anything along those lines, because Tennessee's won just as much as they have, aside from Bruce going to the Final Four. I mean, it's been pretty neck and neck for the most part. But it was almost like Tennessee picking, instead of a thorn, we'll say a splinter out of your thumb, and Tennessee kind of picked that splinter out and dominated Auburn, quite frankly, and dominated Alabama twice. And so it feels like they are correcting a lot of wrongs, I guess, or, you know, overcoming some demons, and hopefully that's a good omen of things to come, because maybe this is the team that got over some humps in the regular season. Maybe that means that they're going to get over some humps in the postseason as well. So I think that's a unique aspect of it, kind of like what you're talking about. And then just all the individual storylines, and I think the win over South Carolina epitomizes it. It wasn't great basketball for 40 minutes, but you had Dalton Connect doing Dalton Connect things on a couple of different occasions. And you had Zakai Ziegler, who played well tonight, had several assists. I believe ended up with seven.
Seven, yep.
Had five rebounds. Didn't shoot it great, but had 11 points, I believe it was, and knocked down a big free throw, a couple of big free throws, and then had a big three-pointer as well. Mm-hmm. So Zakai played well tonight. Jonas Adu, he got his revenge from playing poorly in the first game. He said after the game tonight that he played it like trash in the loss to South Carolina back in Knoxville.
I mean, he ain't wrong.
No, he's not. And he battled foul trouble, which is his own doing for the most part. But Jonas played well tonight, almost had a double-double, 14-9, I believe, is what he finished with, five offensive rebounds. And it's kind of those three, as we talked about it on Monday, Tennessee goes as those three go for the most part. Obviously, don't connect is don't connect, but in order for Tennessee to be successful this time of year, they need Zakai and they need Jonas playing at an elite level. But it's not just those three. It's also, I mean, the awesome story that Santiago Vescovi and Josiah Jordan James have turned into from a leadership standpoint and not caring about anything other than winning. You've got that storyline going on. Jemai Meshack, Tobey Awaka, some other guys on the team that have really been stars in their roles. I think Jemai Meshack, that's been detailed greatly at this point about how he has owned his role and starred in his role. So just a lot of really unique storylines, I think, going on right now. And we'll see how it ends up going in March. We keep saying that. But, I mean, if there was ever a Tennessee basketball team to get over the hump in March under Rick Barnes, I mean, I don't know how you don't feel like it's this one. The proof will be in the pudding. We'll see if they can actually go do it. It's a tall task, even if you are this talented and deep. But it certainly feels like this is the team to get over the hump.
Yeah, and I think put a pin in that because I think that's a really interesting talking point for the second segment that we can have really quick just kind of to tease that conversation that we're going to keep having later on. But before we go to break here, just a quick, very quick recap of the game. Tennessee never trailed in the basketball game. Tennessee got out to a decent start. Of course, missed some shots around the paint, which happened last time against South Carolina, too. That's happened twice now against those guys. That might be more of a feature than a bug, right? You got to tip your cap to a team that's really physical in the paint, a team that, especially when the refs are going to let both teams play, can get away with, you know, I mean, there's one play in particular where Connect and AD were going to dunk and then just had the ball kind of – they were fouled. It is what it was. They were fouled, but it wasn't called. But there were some other things on the other side where Tennessee got away with fouls too, so it sort of came out in the wash. But Tennessee never trailed. Four times in that first half, South Carolina, the crowd starts to get into it. They're making a little run every single time, those four times. Three from Dalton Connect, one from Ganey, big threes that just really shut everybody up really quickly. And that was sort of – a storyline that just stayed throughout the game. Like Tennessee would either not play well enough to totally put the game away, or South Carolina would not let the game be put away, whichever way you want to look at it. Regardless, it's an 11-point game at the half. Tennessee's leading by 14 midway through the second half, and all of a sudden, Connect misses a couple shots that were – one of them was wide open, the other one was a good look that really may have kind of gone ahead and put the thing away. Didn't make either of them. And that 14-point lead became 10, then it became 9, then it became 6. Then, very briefly, with a minute to go, it became 3. And all of a sudden, it got real. And then Adu missed the front end of a 1-on-1. That was a tough miss for him, and he talked about that after the game a little bit. But then the Vols made their final 6 free throws. They got stops. The crowd was furious, thinking there were some fouls, but that was sort of how the game went all night. They just weren't going to call some of that stuff. Swallowed the whistle a little bit. And Tennessee holds on for the win. And anything in particular? That was a very, very quick synopsis of the game.
I mean, it was pretty much cut and dry. I mean, I was looking back at my takeaways. That was probably poorly written in the midst of the chaos. And I was thinking to myself, I feel like I didn't write about a ton, but a ton didn't really happen in the game. I mean, obviously Tennessee wins the SEC regular season championship, but outside of that, and Dalton and Jonas and Zakai, like I already mentioned a moment ago, outside of that, that was pretty much it. Tennessee's defense obviously played really, really well, but the thing that stands out to me that you mentioned it, but I to go a little more in depth is we said in our full court press after the game on the court, Dalton was just kind of Dalton. What else can you say about him? Well, he still managed to do two things that we haven't seen him do this season. We saw him make a four-point play when he knocked down the three and then made the free throw. And then he went on that 9-0 run on his own when Tennessee finished the first half on a 16-5 run to take a double-digit lead in halftime. He makes three threes in a row, which I don't recall off the top of my head him doing this season. It wouldn't be surprising if he actually did do that at some point.
Maybe at the Dean Dome. Right. Maybe at...
I don't recall it off the top of my head. Maybe somebody can help me out and let me know whether Dalton has done that at a point in time this season. But even in a game where he's popping off and you know, I kind of said, well, Dalton Connect's doing Dalton Connect things and ho-hum.
That's that.
He's doing that thing again. I mean, he still managed to do two things that we haven't seen him do this season. So he's just a special, special talent. And I mean, it was pretty much a ho-hum game. The three that you need to play well, played well, and Tennessee played great defensively to make sure that South Carolina, and maybe they got a little lucky. I thought there were too many open threes for Carolina, especially in that first half, and they did not make Tennessee pay. I'm not quite sure if that was part of the game plan or not. They do, as a team, they don't have great shooting numbers. But when you break down a couple of guys and what they've been shooting over the last 8 or 10 games or so, some of those shooting percentages are pretty high, and I would think that you don't want to leave some of those guys open. So I'd be curious to know what that game plan was going into the game, because I thought there were too many open threes. But aside from that, the defense was terrific and kind of symbolizes, you know, what this program is about and fitting that it leaned on the defense in a really tough road environment to get a win. And one last thing that popped into my head while you were talking about how good South Carolina is we were following Rick out of the interview room to go back towards the Tennessee locker room so we could talk to Dalton Connect and Jonas Adu in the hallway, and Lamont Paris was coming in, and I heard Rick Barnes tell Lamont, I mean, Rick's been raving about Lamont Paris and South Carolina, and rightfully so. And I agree with Rick. I think everything he said is absolutely true, and I heard him tell Lamont, you're going to do a lot of damage in the NCAA tournament, and you're going to win a lot of more games this season, and I can certainly see that. So tip of the hat to Tennessee for going into that building that was very loud and beating a very, very good basketball team, which I think at this point in the season, everybody's recalibrated their thoughts on South Carolina. They're picked last in the SEC. Yeah. You're thinking when they beat Tennessee in Knoxville, like, what in the world is Tennessee doing? No, actually, that's a really, really good basketball team. Their style of play isn't necessarily appealing to watch. It's not the sexiest, but they're a really, really good basketball team. So kudos to Tennessee for being able to go into that building tonight with a lot on the line and get the job done.
Yeah, Tennessee was 4-14 on dunks and layups in that game. Like, I can't stress that enough. And I don't know that I've seen numbers quite that bad, especially from this team.
And I don't think it was a coincidence, because they did that the first time
exactly
around, too.
Exactly. Twice is a feature. It's not a bug. Like, that's what it was. But the object of the game is to score more than the opponent. Tennessee did that. It got the win. And it is the Southeastern Conference champion. And it will have the number one seed in the SEC tournament. And who knows? If he keeps playing like this, wins a couple more, maybe number one seed in the NCAA tournament. We will see about that. But let's go to break. We're just a minute or two overdue for that, for what we wanted. So we're going to go ahead and go to break. Step away, pay some bills, listen to product services, in-house ads, then come right back and wrap this thing up here on a breaking news edition of the GoVols 24/7 podcast. Hashtag ad.
Money!
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the GoVols 24/7 podcast, brought to you by Whatever Products, Services, and In-House Ads you just heard a moment ago during that commercial break. Wes Rucker and Ben McKee coming to you from Columbia, South Carolina, from our hotel, just a little bit down the road from Colonial Life Arena, where the 4th-ranked Tennessee Volunteers defeated 16th-ranked South Carolina 66-59 to clinch an outright SEC championship, regardless of what happens in Saturday's Senior Day home finale against the Kentucky Wildcats. I imagine Tennessee's still going to have plenty of piss and vinegar in the tank for that one, but, you know, regardless, no matter what happens, Tennessee's going to win. Of course, it might, if you win that game, then you can go ahead and cut down some nets and do some other stuff at home that are fun to do. Maybe if you lose to Kentucky, you don't really have like a let's go cut some nets ceremony or anything like that. But regardless, big win for Tennessee. First SEC title outright since 08 and first SEC title shared or otherwise since 2018. We got a lot more to discuss. After a quick request from our end to please go rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. You just listen to GoVols247.com. Nothing wrong with that. No wrong way to consume this podcast. Helps us out more, though, if you go on there wherever you can get your podcasts and you mash those like buttons, those rating buttons, those reviewing buttons. And the way the algorithms work now, if you leave a fresh review, it really does help us out. And since we're doing all this for free, which we're happy to do for free, I don't think it's too much to ask to go do that stuff. So please, please go do that stuff. It helps us out quite a bit. If you're already doing it, thank you. We love you. If not,
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Ben, before we get out of here, one thing that I really want to make sure that we hit on, and you may have something else or a couple things you want to hit on, and I hope you, if you do, then we need to discuss them. But for me, this game was the third time in 3 days, and God knows how many times this season, that I think Tennessee won a basketball game that I'm not sure it would have found a way to win last season. Because just things, when things started to slide for that team a little bit at times, it just didn't always quite have the answer. And this, for whatever reason, usually some poor shooting or turnovers, whatever it was, mostly poor shooting, it just didn't happen. Now what happens is you take a team that has a very, very good nucleus, but needs to shoot better, and then you airdrop in the best scorer in college basketball to that mix, you're going to get a pretty delicious cake. That's what Tennessee's got going on right now. And then Gainey, who is no slouch either, has had some really big moments and hit a big three for Tennessee in this game tonight. I just think I know part of the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How many times does this team have to win games it might not have won last season before people do understand that it's different?
I mean, I think we've already reached that point. I don't see really anybody criticizing this team or thinking that this is the same old Tennessee basketball team. I don't see that. Maybe I'm just doing a good job of not seeing it. And
you're better with the mute button, I guess.
I don't mute anybody.
I'm kidding.
Like you do. I'm just kidding. Wes doesn't mute anybody that I'm aware of. But if I did,
they'd never know it.
I did move last week, and my wife is 37 weeks pregnant, and we've had some doctor's appointments lately, so I haven't been as frequent on social media as I typically am in terms of scrolling. So maybe I've just missed it because of that reason. But I think people, for the most part, realize that this is a different Tennessee basketball team. And again, I think there's people still holding out hope just because of what everybody thinks about Rick Barnes in March. I think that's always going to exist as long as Rick Barnes is a head coach at this level and still coaching before he retires. I think everybody's always going to be weary about Rick Barnes coach teams in March, whether that's fair or unfair. But I said it on Monday, Wes, if you think that if you're a Tennessee fan and you're just waiting on the other shoe to drop, then I don't know what to tell you, because I just don't know how you could ever enjoy college basketball if that's the case, because this team is absolutely different and there is plenty of proof in the pudding. I mean, tonight was another example of them being able to win a basketball game in a different manner. They've won three games in three different fashions in the last couple of games. And
two on the road.
And two on the road. And there's really two teams in the country that I truly think are bona fide better than Tennessee, and that's UConn and that's Purdue. And really the whole thing about Purdue is just that they have a 7'4" freak in the middle that's just practically unguardable.
Some other very good players around
him. But absolutely. Still. Not at all discrediting them, but he is hard to stop. He absolutely is hard to stop, Zach Edey, as we saw that literally this season already with Tennessee. But outside of that, I think Tennessee's capable of beating anybody in the country. Houston would be tough. I'm not saying there's teams that wouldn't make life tough on Tennessee. There absolutely are. Marquette.
Houston's a tough, like a better version of South Carolina.
Right. Absolutely. So, I mean, I just don't really know what to say to that question, because I don't know how anybody could think that this is the same old Tennessee basketball team. Again, it doesn't mean that they're going to all of a sudden snap your fingers and go to the Final Four. It's not that simple, unfortunately. But if you think that this is the same old Tennessee basketball team of the last couple of years, then I just kind of think you're being negative just to be negative, quite frankly. I don't know what to tell that person, because this is absolutely a different basketball team, and there's plenty of proof in the pudding at this point.
Yeah, and I think the good news, if you're looking for more good news, is if there's not been enough, this was the last road game of the season for Tennessee.
Yep.
At least for you know, Saturday's going to be in Knoxville. Next week's going to be in the state of Tennessee. I know there'll be a lot of blue in there, obviously, but there's always a lot of orange at the SEC tournament too. Not as much as blue, but there's a good amount. There's always a good amount.
It won't be a road game.
Yes, especially in Nashville, it's different. And then we'll see, like probably fairly, you would imagine, very close to home for the opening weekend of the tournament. And then beyond that, I mean, hell, it might be L.A., depending on how things shake out. If Tennessee's the one seed, it's going to be in L.A. That's where it's going to be. It's going to be L.A. if they're a one seed. If not, then it still might be L.A. against Arizona or somebody else, or Tennessee could maybe be a two in the South, or, you know, somewhere else. It Midwest, it's possible. But, you know, I think this team finding the ways that it has to win games, I think, is really impressive, because, you know, what you want to do, Ben, going into a tournament like this is you want to be as good as you can be, duh. But you want to have different ways you feel like you can win games, because it's a crapshoot and you never know who's going to get thrown at you, what kind of style it's going to be. It could be a walk the ball down the floor kind of team. It could be a, you know, Kentucky or Alabama pace, you know, team, a team that like Arizona that really flies up and down the floor. It could be anything. And Tennessee this season has won a lot of games in a lot of different ways. And the foundation going into that tournament, assuming everybody stays healthy the next week and a half, is what you want it to be. I mean, what more could you want? I don't want to say if not now, then when, but
it feels that way.
It kind of gets that feeling a little bit because this team, you want a point guard, they got a point guard. You want one of the best scorers in the country, you got one of the best scorers in the country. You want some capable big men, they got that. You want experience, size, athleticism, they check every box there.
Coaching,
a guy who has not had a tremendous time in this tournament, but is a future Hall of Famer who has been to the Final Four and is won more than 800 games now. Every box that can be checked has been checked. I think maybe if you wanted to be, like, if you wanted to say, where's the hole? Well, maybe a little more depth in the front court, proven wise, would be nice, just in case. There's a couple of things, you know, maybe you'd like to see James and Vescovy be a tiny bit more aggressive offensively at times. There was another time tonight where I think it was James who turned down an open three with like 3 or 4 seconds in the shot clock, and Tennessee had to settle for Kinect heaving one from Irmo, basically, at the horn that didn't go in. And those moments like that, like, so there's some things that you'd like to see, but this team has won with offense. It has won with defense. It has won in the paint. It has won behind the three-point line. It has won at the free throw line. It has won going fast. It has won going slow. It has won on the glass. Just about every way you can win a game, coming from behind, holding off a late run at the end from the opponent, nip and tuck the entire way. Like, name a way you can win a game, Ben. They've done it.
1,000%. And my biggest fear for this basketball team is that they have a bad shooting night. Because that to me is what will send Tennessee home earlier than it should. If they happen to run into a Houston or a UConn or a Purdue, like one of those teams that we talked about, obviously it would be tough to run into them before, I guess, the Final Four or maybe even the Elite Eight. But if for some reason the bracket falls that way and it's the Sweet 16 or it's the Elite Eight, and it's kind of like that Grant and Admiral game against Purdue in the Sweet 16, and it's just a back-and-forth game at the end, and unfortunately the other team makes one more play. And like, one more play, I'm not going to kill Tennessee for losing to a team. And again, I'm talking about like the Purdues and the Houstons and the UConns and the Marquettes. Yeah. Like, if it's a back-and-forth game and they just kind of make one more play than you at the end, and it's in the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16, like, to me, that's just bad luck, quite frankly. Maybe I need to recalibrate my thought process, but my big fear with this team is just simply having a bad shooting night, because I don't think that the roster is flawed. I don't think that the team is flawed in any way. In terms of leadership,
I don't think the strategy is flawed either.
I don't think the coaching is flawed. The system, you have everything that you need. And, I mean, you have guard play to add on to what you were saying. And I'm a big believer in the team after the team, the team that has taken its lumps. And this team has taken its lumps. This core has taken its lumps. Santi and Josiah, the Kennedy year, losing to Michigan, you took that lump. Last year, losing to FAU, you took that lump. I'm a big believer in the team after the team. And this is the team after the team that has the scars and has been through the battles and has, you know, they've experienced everything that they can possibly experience, and they have the leadership. So my concern for this team is just one of those nights in basketball that can creep up and kind of get you, because I don't think that there's really there's obviously teams that have a style of play that the matchup will be more difficult than a different matchup, but I don't think there's a matchup out there that's like, oh, Tennessee's losing if they run into that in the NCAA tournament. Those matchups where you say, oh, Tennessee's losing, it's called Zach Edey, and it's called UConn having too much talent and more talent than everybody else. Those are the matchups that you look
at. Someone like a Hunter Dickinson, someone of that ilk, like a really dominant big man.
Right, but even like with that, I agree with you. But even with Kansas, I mean, they kind of been meh of late. I don't know what to tell anybody who doesn't think that this team is different. It doesn't guarantee anything in March, but there's a lot of proof in the pudding, and I think what would send home Tennessee earlier than it should would just be an unfortunate injury or two, or just simply having one of those bad nights in basketball that you have from time to time.
Yep, the team after the team can be a special thing. I think the team after the most talented team in Tennessee football history, which might have been the 1997 team, won the national championship the next year. I think the 01 Tennessee team might have actually been the most talented, but 97, Peyton senior year, that was a team, man.
Pretty good football team.
And then the year after, Tennessee has one of the best college baseball teams in the history of the sport throughout the regular season, but then gets upset right before going to Omaha. The team the next season gets to Omaha. So, yeah, I mean, the team after the team can be a thing.
It's funny you bring the baseball team up, because I actually had that thought tonight after the game. This basketball team feels like that 2022 baseball team. Not as dominant, per se, but in terms of just you had the feeling going into the postseason that this is the team. Like, it's hard to envision.
Like, you like the vibes. You like what's going on.
Yes. What can you dislike about this basketball team right now going into March?
Just history, and that's not relevant maybe right to what's going on now.
No, absolutely. And they've already overcome some of those demons in the regular season, like we talked about earlier, which makes you feel better about going into the postseason. So you hope that is a sign of things to come, that they were able to overcome some demons in the regular season, beating Auburn, Alabama, those kind of things. Hopefully that's a sign of things to come with the tournament. But I feel about this team the way I felt about that 22 baseball team going into the NCAA tournament. Didn't necessarily work out for them, which is why nothing is guaranteed and why you play to win the game. That 22 team should have won the national championship because it was the best team in college baseball that year.
Yes, it was.
There's no doubt about that. But that's why we play the games. That's why it's sports. And Tennessee's going to have to go out and prove it. I think the good thing is with the Kentucky game, I would, and even getting into the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament, this team's not going to settle. I mean, everybody that spoke tonight, they were already talking about, this is nice, we're going to enjoy this, it's very earned, we appreciate it, this was a goal, but there's more on the table, and we want more.
That's true. Everybody, I believe, always wants more, right? That's the story of life. But you know what they have right now? An SEC championship for the first time outright since 2008, and the first time of any kind, shared or otherwise, since 2018. A big night for Tennessee basketball, a good night for Tennessee basketball, and I think we've recapped it pretty succinctly here, I guess you could say. We kind of got to the point which we needed to do. We will obviously have our normal, more regular, more detailed podcast and all that later on, but this was a night where we couldn't not have one, and so what you get is Ben and I just sort of trying our best to stay awake at 2:00 in the morning in a hotel in Columbia talking about Tennessee winning the SEC championship. So I think we've done that. Thanks for helping, Ben.
Yeah, I don't know what's worse, being in Columbia or being in a hotel room with you still awake at 2 a.m.
Sounds like a bad song. Sounds like the bad song or a bad story. So hopefully not.
Yeah, I guess the only thing worse is the experience of the listener right now listening to us for the last 30 to 40 minutes.
That's true. So we'll end it right here. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Wes.
There's that button. And now I can say thank you for listening to this edition of the GoVols 24/7 podcast. We always say that, but we always mean it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. You can find all of us on social media. I'm Wes Rucker 24/7 on Twitter. Ben McKee is Ben McKee 14 on Twitter. Ryan Callahan is Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter. And Patrick Brown is P Brown 24/7 on Twitter. And if you just want Tennessee news on Twitter, nothing else, you can get that at twitter.com/govals247. You can also go to facebook.com/govals247, where we update that throughout the day, all day, every day, mostly with Tennessee news, but also with news that we think Vols fans will find interesting. But if you want that best, most delicious East Tennessee Smoky Mountain spring water directly from the source, go get that at govols247.com, the best site on all of Al Gore's internets for coverage of Tennessee football recruiting, basketball recruiting, Tennessee baseball. Nobody, and I mean nobody, covers Tennessee baseball the way that we do. Also, no one covers the Lady Vols that we do. The award-winning Maria Cornelius does an excellent job covering all things Lady Vols for us all season long. You can get all of that at govols247.com. You've also got access there to two forums that run around the clock. Got the Checkerboard and the Summit, where you can go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and discuss anything you want that is not political or religious in nature with us, with thousands of Tennessee fans across the world, and with us who are on the staff.
and no one has a more active board with the staff members than us. We are proud to be there all the time answering any question that you've got, and you get all of that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month. That is all that it costs, and that's after a quick free trial. And once you pay us that reasonable rate, which is, again, less than one mediocre lunch per month, you get access in perpetuity to Paramount Plus, which is an excellent growing behemoth of a streaming arm there with us here at CBS, Paramount, Viacom, etc. You get every show CBS has ever made commercial free. You get new movies. You get classic movies that rotate in every single month. You also get just tons of original content, tons of great original Paramount Plus content. And you also get access to the vaults of Nickelodeon, Smithsonian, MTV, BET, Comedy Central, something for the entire family. All of that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month. That is so much stuff. So much stuff. That's a bunch of stuff. Less than one lunch a month. That's all that it costs. So go to govols247.com and do that. Take advantage of that. Tell your friends to go do that. Again, thank you for listening. You can always go subscribe to us on every content item, everywhere you can get a podcast. You can get this podcast. So please go do that. Thank you for listening again. And be kind to each other, guys. Just try to be kind to each other. There's just not nearly enough people in this world being kind to each other and having basic human empathy and dignity. Let's be better to each other. Let's be good. See you guys.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.